KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action, stories of community service from the campus of Fresno State, with host Chris Fiorentino on Fresno State Radio, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome to the Fresno State Service in Action Show. I'm Chris Fiorentino and I have the pleasure each week of hosting this show and sharing really positive stories of how Fresno State students, employees, and our partners in the community are helping to provide over 1 million hours of service to our community each and every year. Today, we're going to be sharing the second part of an amazing service learning story out of the physical therapy program here at Fresno State. The class that we're talking about, and we talked about last week as well, and you can find that show on podcast, is Physical Therapy 565S. It's called Community Outreach and Wellness. And last week, we talked about this class with the instructor, Jennifer Roos, who's with us here again today, along with a couple of her students. And so today, we have a couple of additional students who are going to talk about their service projects that were part of that class. So let's meet our guests. Jennifer, welcome back to the show. You're the instructor for the course. We appreciate you being here. And last time you gave a little self-introduction, but might be some people listening that weren't listening last week. So how about a little self-introduction again?
Thanks for having us, Chris. Yeah, Jennifer Roos. I'm a full-time professor in the Doctor of Physical Therapy program here at Fresno State in my fifth year teaching full-time here. And I've been a physical therapist for 20 years now and alumni of Fresno State and a Fresno native.
Great. And last week we had Ladies Week for the PT program, and today it's Gentlemen's Week. We have with Jennifer, Adam Bernard and Jeffrey Hitai, both from the physical therapy program, both last semester students getting ready to graduate. Adam, maybe we'll start with you. Welcome to the show, and maybe you just give a little quick introduction.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for having me. I'm Adam Bernard. I'm 32 years old. As you said, I'm a third-year physical therapy student here. I've been our class president for the last 3 years. I'm not a local resident. I'm actually from Lodi, California, originally, and then I spent 10 years in Sacramento. I took the non-traditional route to physical therapy, being a little older than the common student, I guess you'd say. Did my bachelor's in communications at Sacramento State and worked at many levels of the hospitality industry before deciding to change paths.
What was it that drew you to PT?
Well, the easy answer is that I like to help people, and I very much like to do that. But I found that physical therapy was a way for me to follow the process along with patients. So I was actually able to see how they improve day over day and week over week and join them on that journey and help them get better. So it's very gratifying to be able to see them when they're not doing so well and then be the inspiration to change in their life.
Yeah. And a big change that you've made in your life, too. So, yeah. You know, going from a bachelor's degree in communication and hospitality to a medical field. So,
yeah, it's definitely proven helpful also in building rapport with patients and learning why that's important, why that might inspire them to change as opposed to looking for another PT.
Oh, great. Well, welcome to the show. We're glad you're here. And Jeff, welcome to the show. We're glad you're here as well. Maybe you can tell the listeners a little about yourself.
Yeah, so I'm Jeff. I'm a Fresno native. Went to Fresno State for undergrad in kinesiology as a part of the Smith Camp Family Honors College. And now a third-year student, just like Adam, really enjoying the program, almost done, real excited to get on to the next stage and start working. But love Fresno, always been from Fresno, and looking forward to having this talk with you.
Yeah, that's a little more traditional route, right? Kinesiology or a science major, or, you know, maybe a year or two after you finish your bachelor's degree, you come back, but you kind of went pretty seamless, huh?
Yeah, you know, sometimes I wonder, maybe I should have taken a gap year. But I think now that I'm almost done, I'm thankful because I'm 25. So
I'm
young and all done with school. But I've loved it at Fresno. That was always kind of the plan, is to get everything done here and we'll see what's next.
Good deal. Well, we appreciate you being here today. So Jennifer, last time you were here, you talked about the PT program here at Fresno State, and we learned that this is one of the very few doctoral level programs at Fresno State, and even in the CSU, that it's highly competitive to get into, and that your program really emphasizes hands-on learning. And I'm wondering if you'll talk a little bit more about the importance of service learning and the science of PT, as well as how you implement service when you're working with your patients.
Yeah, our three-year program really integrates the development of the sciences across our foundational track and our specialty tracks of orthopedic and neurologic discussions. But we do embed service learning throughout our program, and students are introduced to that hands-on application during each of the 3 years that they're enrolled in our program. We now have 4 service learning courses within our DPT with the S designation, and feel that it's a very important aspect of their doctorate education is to learn the scientific background, learn the practicing of skills foundationally, and then applying those to real life patients. And we feel that it helps throughout the phases of the program as we introduce and develop their skill. And by the third year of the program, hopefully master that entry-level education ability so that they are ready to go out and work when they graduate.
I was talking with one of your students who is first or second year, I can't remember. She's a student assistant in our office and during her undergraduate years, and she was saying how here she'd had the anat phys classes here and the basic kinesiology classes here, and then in your program, you've got additional anatomy physiology coursework, and she said how much more rigorous and detailed the courses in the doctoral level program are, but how connecting that through the service projects, either the clinic at the health center, or, well, she hasn't taken this particular class yet that we're going to be talking about today, but how she finally understands it, right? She understands how the interplay between the anatomy and the structure of the bones and the muscles and where they attach and, you know, all of that really makes more sense now that she's able to see it in action through those hands-on experiences.
Right. And in the first year of the program, there is a lot of foundational science courses that are offered. And we spend a significant amount of time, like you said, they've done some of these courses in the past for their undergraduate, but the application is really focused towards their mastery of the musculoskeletal system, understanding the amount of hours that they put in to master what all muscles and the system does within the body, and then be able to apply that to a person functionally when you're treating them in the clinic. You almost have, you know, what I say is that if you have a photographic learning style or photographic memory, you see what's going on with their movement patterns because of what you learned and developed through those rigorous courses. And it allows you to break down impairments and identify how to set up a plan of attack to treat that through your interventions. And so when you're learning in that depth, we feel that it's appropriate to stop and introduce that application piece periodically through the program, through the on-site clinical experiences, because it helps them apply it, which then helps build that foundation of their knowledge by using that problem-based or case-based learning situation after learning in the traditional classroom format. And service learning is just another extension of that as well. They learn through the challenges of working in a setting that's both mutually beneficial to themselves as well as the community members in the clinic courses or in this course, so to speak, by creating their own project. So we feel that this course in the third year of the program is really appropriate in the sense that they're ready to develop or align what they've learned so far in the program in a way that they get some choosing and some leadership. And so this course that we're talking about, the projects today, is really them building on decisions that they're making. And I support them to guide them through that as opposed to teaching them that. They've already learned those skills. And so that's really what we try to embody when they start developing projects that they can become passionate about and then learn how to do that. Because the goal is when they leave and become that clinician, they know how to create a pro bono activity based on the service learning project they did in this course. And that's my goal, because that's a passion that I have in serving the community.
That's great. And, you know, you mentioned something in your remarks about this idea that service learning is mutually beneficial. It's beneficial to the students. They learn to apply that theory and that information they're learning in their courses, and they understand that material better, hopefully, and they understand the application of it. But there's also a benefit to the community as well. And both of those are intentional, learning and intentional service. And in the case of this course in particular, this community outreach and wellness course, it's one of several classes where these students actually put into practice what they learn in the lecture, so to speak. What specifically does this community outreach and wellness class cover in terms of more traditional academic material?
This course applies a focus for the physical therapy profession. So being that it's part of our curriculum, we take that slant to make sure that the focus of that project that they're going to perform has the service learning components, but also the physical therapy components. And so we really talk about health promotion, wellness, and injury prevention. And a lot of our projects each year, as you've seen in past years, focus on that injury prevention model, because it's something that aligns so closely with what they've learned in order to treat individuals. But the other component is they look for different specialty populations or populations of interest in the community that might have a piece that can provide of education for health promotion.
So I think one of the neat things about this class is that the service project that the students are doing, they're able to sort of pick what sector of the community that they want to deal with. And Adam, I think, you know, also on a larger scale, we're talking about not just learning the facts and figures, right? We're talking about taking that information that you're learning in the textbooks and in lecture and putting it into action in a way that you will do in your future job. And your project involved helping another group of future healthcare professionals, actually nursing students, how to do their job more safely, right? Maybe you'll tell us a little bit about your service project.
Sure. We presented to the first year CSU Fresno nursing students. The presentation was called Proper Mechanics of Patient Handling. What we were finding in our research was that nursing experiences musculoskeletal injuries to the back at a rate much higher than any other occupation. And those injuries actually happened in the first few years of employment. So we found a need with these nursing students that they were being injured straight out of school as a result of their occupation. We covered in our presentation postural stretches and exercises to prevent a lot of these overuse injuries that are occurring to the back. And a highlight of our presentation was actually the squat pivot transfer, which is one of the main transfers that you use in a hospital setting for a patient that'll require more assistance. Things like transferring from a chair to a bed or maybe like a chair to the commode, for example. I had a few insights from this presentation that were pretty interesting upon reflecting. The students were actually more than happy to learn. Most of them had been told throughout their life to stand up straight or to pull their shoulders back, pull their head back, you know, proper posture. Mm-hmm. But no one actually ever took the time to show them in practice how to do that. They just were told, stand up straight. But what does that mean going down the chain from your head down to your feet?
Yeah.
So they were thankful to learn that, especially if they're going to be on their feet all day long and charting for a good portion of the day. When we got to the squat pivot transfer, one interesting insight was how uncomfortable the students were with being in close physical contact with one another. So one thing PTs are known for is how close we get to our patients. You know, we have to work very closely with their bodies.
Yeah, very hands-on.
Very hands-on, yeah. So it was interesting to see these new students and how uncomfortable they were with getting that close with somebody they sit next to every single day.
Yeah.
And something they're going to be doing in practice. And one last thing that I did notice too is about a month or two after we presented these presentations, I ran into one of the students at Doghouse across the street. And he said, Adam, you know, I'm really glad that you taught us that. Every day now I'm using the proper lifting techniques.
Yeah.
And so I was teaching my friends and family how to do it. So running into someone over a beer like that really meant a lot to me, showing how we made an impact on their lives.
It's a transferable skill, too, I think, is part of it. And I think if I remember right from your presentation during the showcase, I remember, you know, I thought, don't they teach nursing students how to lift? And they do, but they don't get into it in as in-depth a way as you did in your program.
Sure.
And also they don't show them some of the preventative stuff, the stretching, making sure that they're providing some of those strength exercises and whatnot.
Yeah.
There was another thing you talked about. You do some research before you go do this. You just don't go and grab this audience, these nursing students, and say, okay, we're going to go in and do this.
Sure.
There's a need to fill. And so you did some background research first, right?
Mm-hmm. We actually took a look at the Bureau of Labor and Statistics' most recent data. Injuries broken down by different occupations. And so we were looking, of course, at nursing in particular. And injuries to nurses, musculoskeletal injuries, occur at a rate, I believe, at 50% higher than any other occupation
Wow.
that the BLS records in America.
And so, that affects employment in terms of, you know, more sick days for those employees, workers' comp claims. So that increases healthcare costs overall. So it's not just the individual doesn't get hurt. It's that this is part of the larger healthcare system. And so we want to make sure not only are we taking care of that individual, but it's got spillover effect.
Sure. And these are preventable injuries that are happening to the people who take care of us and our loved ones.
Yeah.
So it's a very simple solution taught to the students at a very early age and right before they begin their career so that we can prevent a lot of these things that are helping our healthcare providers.
And as a nearly licensed physical therapist, you have knowledge and skills that you can apply in a way that maybe the nursing instructors just, they haven't studied that piece of it. And I think people think, oh, come on, it's a lifting technique. It can be very, very technical.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's a very good point because you have to look at who is teaching the movement. So that's our specialty is how to move perfectly, perfect human biomechanics.
Yeah.
So by teaching them the proper ways to use their body, we're going to be preventing those injuries later on.
And it's important to say, I mean, clearly the nursing faculty are doing their job, but there's a strength that comes anytime in any subject matter when there's peer-to-peer, student-to-student instruction. And maybe you can speak to that just a little bit.
Sure. We're very fortunate to have the opportunity to do what's called interprofessional education between our departments in the healthcare field. So we've done some work with nursing and then also with pharmacology over the last 3 years. And it's been very beneficial, I know, for myself, and I'm hoping for those departments also. I think if they were taught about the proper ways to move their body by someone who's specialized in it, then it's only going to be icing on the cake once nursing kind of drives that home with them throughout the years.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I think that that fact that they're hearing it from another student, granted at a higher level of education, but another student, reinforces some of the stuff the professors say. Right, Jennifer? We as instructors, sometimes the students hear blah, 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 and there's all that content that maybe they absorb in a different way because they're hearing it from a peer.
Sure.
Jeff, your project helped get experience in another area of PT, and physical therapists deal with this a lot, right? Fall prevention. Maybe you'll talk a little about the overall issue of fall prevention, why that's important in the medical field in general and to physical therapists, and what your team did.
The Center for Disease Control and Prevention, they have some data on that as far as falls, and they stated that every 20 minutes an older adult dies from a fall.
So dies.
So it doesn't just fall, but they're actually dying because of the fall. And every second of every day an older adult falls in the U.S.
Wow.
So it's a lot more prevalent than I think people realize. There's all kinds of health issues and different issues that need our attention. But I think there's just a lack of awareness of how prevalent it really is and how serious it really is. So that's one factor. But our project, basically, we wanted to educate. That was the main piece first, was educating older adults, and older adults defined as generally 65 years or older.
I'm not there yet.
Okay. Yeah, you're not there yet. My parents are getting there, but hey, older adults, and just educating them on how common it is, the risks. But also, a lot of times in every presentation this happens, we give the presentation and you can kind of see people's faces and their affect kind of fall, like, oh man, like I'm doomed, you know, that kind of attitude.
Yeah.
But what we want them to know is that there's so many modifiable risk factors. And there's lots of things you can't control. We can't control the fact that we're all aging, but you can control exercise levels, strength levels, even just things like psychosocial factors, depression, anxiety. Those things even contribute to fall risk. So there's all kinds of factors involved that if we can educate them on and point them in the right direction as far as how to address those issues, then we can do that and help them.
And so, environmental things as well, right? I mean,
right.
A throw rug or a chair that's in the wrong place. Or...
Exactly. And that's actually part of our education is we have handouts from the CDC that have kind of checklists. So things you can go around your house and find loose rugs, like you were saying, or even what's really popular in your sinks is the kind of compliant rugs that are really comfortable, they're nice and squishy.
Yeah.
Those are fall risk because it's almost like a balance challenge when you have to stand on that. Now, if you're younger, it's no big deal. But when you're older and your sensation gets a little worse in your feet and all these other factors, that can be a fall risk. So that checklist is one component. What we did for our project, we went to three different sites. Went to the Fresno State Women's Association, the Clovis Adult Education, and LC Hotchkiss Terrace. So those are three different sites. And we gave a presentation just educating them on fall risk, all the different ways we can modify fall risk, the things you can do to help prevent that and lower your risk. And then we went ahead and did a mini balance screen. So there's two different outcome measures that we used that they have good data behind that help us get a good sense of, are you a fall risk or are you not a fall risk? We did the 30-second sit-to-stand test, and we also did the timed up-and-go test. So the 30-second sit-to-stand, real simple. You just have them do as many sit-to-stands as they can in 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
But there's data behind that to show, depending on your age, if you are above a cutoff or below a cutoff, it kind of tells you if you have lower strength than average for your age and if you're at a higher risk for falls for your age.
Okay.
And the timed up-and-go is a way to assess balance and functional mobility. So basically getting up, walking around the cone as quickly and safely as they can, and sitting back down in the chair, and we're timing that. So really our goal was we wanted to educate, assess where they're at, so they have some quantifiable data and know exactly where they're at. And if they needed more services, we would recommend that. One thing that was really good is we have a multidisciplinary safe balance screen that happens twice a year. And that involves physical therapy students, nursing students, pharmacy students, and kinesiology students. And we actually worked on this our second year. We would help get a full assessment of all the different factors that go into someone's risk for falls and then give them exercises and things like that. And we even had the opportunity to teach them exercises at our outreach as well and kind of put them in the right direction. And really another thing too is building their confidence. I think even with my parents, my dad's 64, my mom's 62, they're getting older and their balance is good, but statistics show that it will get worse over time if they don't address it now.
Yeah.
But a lot of times there's a whole confidence issue of, oh, well, I'm just going to go downhill. And no, you can really maintain a lot of strength and mobility and be able to play with your grandkids and all those things, you know? So part of it was giving people hope and realizing, yeah, of course you're getting older. We're all getting older, but there's something you can do about it.
Yeah. So your project, and I think Adam's as well, and many of the others, I mean, you got the research piece, you identify a population you're going to work with, you develop the materials and the educational component, you go out and you do that, you kind of assess a little bit what worked, what didn't work. We talked about that last week, in particular with one of the projects. You make adaptations, you know, those kinds of things, and you're delivering that unique service that otherwise the community members would not have. And I think that that's the strength, that's the service piece, right? But all along the way, you as a student, you're learning. And I'm curious for you, how do you think that this helped you prepare to be a professional physical therapist?
Well, I think it's helped a lot. And actually, even before coming into the program, I was involved with Fallproof, which is a fall prevention program. So it's something I kind of already knew about. But this was helpful because now you're going into the community, you're seeing real people in your city, and you're having to, just like any other patient that would come into your clinic, having to, you know, ask some questions, figure out where they're at as an individual, and give them individual advice. I think another factor, too, that was really important is anytime I see an older adult patient, let's say they came in for back pain or for knee pain or whatever that might be, sometimes we get so fixated on just the knee pain or just the back pain. But if they're an older adult, over 65, statistics show they're inherently more of a fall risk. So now I can be more aware of, yeah, we're going to treat your knee, but let's also assess your fall risk.
Yeah.
It's really quick assessments,
holistic.
Not hard at all. Yeah, very holistic.
And preventative.
And preventative, exactly. So I love it, you know, and I think we've got a great education as far as being in the program. All of us as students are aware of that. So I think I'm a little more aware of it just because I'm doing this outreach program, but I think everyone in our cohort is more than able and aware of the risks that older adults have with falls and are ready to go and be more holistic and preventative with their healthcare in the future.
You know, Jennifer, our last show, we talked about a project your students did in West Fresno Elementary and another project with the CrossFit workouts. I know that there were several other projects that were displayed in the showcase that you do every year, which is a fantastic thing. I wish I had more time to talk about it. But maybe, is there another project in particular that, you know, you want to highlight?
Yeah, we did another collaborative project with nursing, and we had students aligned with nursing students who have a community wellness course. They created educational information about good foot hygiene and shoe wear and protection. And they also created a shoe donation drive. And then they aligned with the mobile health unit who goes out on the weekends during the semester. And they fitted individuals with new pairs of shoes who were in need. And they donated and fitted almost 100 pairs of shoes in one day.
So again, another great service that the university has available to the community, this nursing mobile health clinic. You partner with them, you go out, you do these foot assessments, size them up, give them a nice new pair of shoes, and that's another great service. You know, and also I want to at least acknowledge real quickly, especially with Jeffrey's project, if there's somebody listening with the fall prevention stuff, there is a fall prevention clinic and assessment that the physical therapy program offers to the community, and that's available. They can just contact the physical therapy department here at Fresno State to get more information about that, right?
Correct.
Okay. So Adam and Jacob, real quick, because we're running short on time, I asked the two students who were with us last week, Amy Moffitt and Allison Huber, you know, this, the PT program's tough. It's hard to get into. It's very demanding academically. And I'm curious what you think you gain from hands-on service learning experiences like this, as opposed to more traditional lecture classes.
Sure. I believe the more senses you can use in order to learn information, the better you're going to retain it, be that verbal or visual or even tactile learning. If you use as many senses as possible, your body's going to have more synapses, I guess you'd say, to pull off of when you go back to access that information. You have it stored in more places in your brain.
Yeah, great. Jeff, how about you?
I want to preface this by saying that as far as the people that do heavy research, that are really deep into empirical data and doing the studies, that's hugely important. I mean, if you think about Western medicine today, it would not be what it is today unless we had people doing the studies. However, as clinicians, if we don't have the hands-on experience, we don't take those ideas and apply them, it's all for naught. It's not going to affect or help anyone unless we know how to do it in person.
Yeah.
So that's just a huge benefit of the program is, yes, we're learning the studies, we're learning how to read research and all that, but we're going out and we're doing it and we're getting good at it. So that's a huge plus.
Yeah. You know, every year at the end of this class, you host the showcase, Jennifer, and the students all have their posters set up and they're there with their teams. And I think I've been coming for about 3 or 4 years since the showcase started. And I'm generally one of the last people out of the room. The students are all like, God, would this guy hurry up and leave so we can go home? But I love it because I love, number one, I'm an advocate of health and fitness. But I love walking around and seeing how innovative the students are and how they've taken these PT concepts and found these unique niches in the community and provided a unique service and also applied what they learn and how passionate they are about it. And I think that Adam's and Jeff's project, the two of you were the same way. Allison and Amy were the same way as all the students are. So I really appreciate the work that you do in your class, Jennifer. I appreciate the work that you guys do out in the community. I think it is very unique and very important, and really lots of kudos to you. So before we leave you today, one last thank you to our guests, Jennifer Roos, Adam Bernard, and Jeffrey Hattai, all from the Physical Therapy Department and the Community Outreach and Wellness class. If you want to learn more about this class and the kinds of projects students do, I really encourage you to go check out the KFSR website and look up the podcast from previous week of the Other Physical Therapy Show that aired last Sunday. That recording and all the other shows that we've done are available on that site for listening. So really great interviews, really worth your time. Take a listen to a few. And I'll close with another special thanks to each of you listening. We love bringing this show to you each week. We always enjoy hearing from you. So please go to our Fresno State Service in Action Facebook page and tell us what you think about today's show. You can take a look at some of the pictures and some of the information that we talked about today of Adam and Jeff's project and some of the other physical therapy students and their projects. That site is at FS Service in Action. That's Facebook at the at symbol FS Service in Action. And as always, please join us again next week when we bring you another inspiring, positive show that shares the stories of good people doing great things in and for our community. We are Fresno State Service in Action, and we're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at kfsr.org. Thanks, and have a great day.
KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action every Sunday morning at 11. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.